Amen, amen. If you would, I want you to look at somebody close to you, and I want you to tell them that Wednesdays are important. Amen. I know it's traditionally called hump day, but Wednesdays are important. Amen. Wednesdays are very important, and I am thankful that you have made it a priority in your life. We're actually talking about that. We're talking about being a chosen generation and how a chosen generation should conduct themselves and how we should act and be. I say not act, but how we should be according to God's word. And so one of those ways is not forsaking the assembly of yourselves together as a manner of some is. Amen? Amen. I understand work and I understand activities. This is not even what I'm talking about tonight. I'm just kind of prefacing what we're talking about because it's important. It's extremely important that we conduct ourselves in a way that is pleasing to God. It's been a few years now, and I feel at some point I'm going to bring it back, but I did a series on pleasing God. I want to please God. Amen? I want to make God happy. And there's going to be times, just because I'm human, that I'm probably not going to do that. I know everybody in here is perfect, but I'm not perfect, and I'm sure if I make my wife mad, I know I make God mad. Amen? Amen. If I get on my kids' nerves, there's no doubt that I get on God's nerves. Now, I don't ever make her mad. She loves me so much. Amen. Somebody said, yeah, right. I mean, come on. You're supposed to be on my side here. What's the deal? No, I'm joking. If you haven't been here, if you don't know what we have been talking about, a chosen generation, we have talked about our assurance of salvation, and it's preserved by God's power. It's proven by trials from God. It was predicted by the prophets. Amen. And a few months ago now, we talked about our response to salvation, a call to hope, a call to holiness, a call to holy fear, a call to heartfelt love, and a call to healthy growth. And this past 2 months, we have talked about our conduct in social environments, social situations or settings, if you will, and that conduct with unbelievers, civil authority. We want to always be kind to the cops, amen, and to the mayors and to the president, even though we have different feelings about them. If y'all don't like that one very much, go back and listen to it. And our employer, we've talked about our conduct with our employer. And tonight sitting at my desk, and when I was sitting on a little ottoman thing that we have at the house, I was sitting there and I was saying in my brain, I'm going to be methodical, I'm going to be methodical, I'm going to be methodical. Because tonight, I'm going to begin with this and I'm going to hurry through it as fast as possible. Because I don't want to make anybody mad, and I don't want to get anybody mad at me, or I don't want to be mad at you for your responses. But we're going to talk about our conduct with our spouse, amen, and then with believers, brothers and sisters in the Lord. Any comments that you may have, keep them to yourself, unless you're going to say amen or hallelujah. And if that gets a little robust, then don't even do that, because I do not. I only know two Christian counselors, and they're booked up, so I'm messing around. I mean that with all love. But if you have your Bibles, if you would, grab those. And we're going to stand to our feet tonight. To any guests that are in the house, we're delighted to have you. Thank you for being here. Those of you that call Truth Church your home, we're delighted to have you in the house as well. Amen. But we're going to talk about our conduct with our spouse. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1. Oh, man. I know what the feelings are when the first four words of this scripture, I know what happened. So I just want you to maneuver all of that out of your brain. I just want you to listen for a little bit. Is that all right? Y'all help me, I'll help you. Amen. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they, without a word, may be won by the conduct of their wives. When they observe your chaste conduct, amen, accompanied with fear, accompanied by fear. Praise God. So that's what we're going to talk about this evening. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your love and your peace that passeth all understanding. We heard about that on Sunday. And Lord, I'm asking right now that your power and your love and your peace would come into this place. Teach us, show us, Lord, what you want us to be, how you want us to live as a chosen generation. Lord, we want to live as a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Lord, we want to make sure that we live how you want us to live and not, Lord, how we want to live. We are not to walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And Lord, I'm asking that you would help us do that, Lord, because we want to make heaven our home. Lord, we want to make sure that we're an example. We understand that we are written epistles, read of men, from our family, Lord, from friends, from co-workers, from people in the community. It doesn't matter who it is, Lord, we are written epistles, read of all men. And Lord, I'm asking right now that you would help us as you mold us into a chosen generation. In Jesus' name, and everybody say amen. Amen. Turn around, look at somebody, say, be nice. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Isn't God good? All the time. Our conduct with our spouse. As I told you, if you're late coming in, I'm going to be methodical, very methodical. I am not going to expound hardly at all, but I am going to stick to the notes as much as possible, at least for the first portion of tonight. It may seem unusual, maybe even unbalanced, that Peter spends 6 verses, and I know I'm going to get some amens, addressing the wives and only 1 addressing the husbands. Amen. I'll say it myself. 6 verses. 6 verses addressing the wives and only 1 addressing the husbands. But we need to understand a couple of things here, and I'm going to explain those to you just from commentary. In the first century Greco-Rome culture, women received little to no respect. Little to no respect. As long as they were in their father's home, they were subject to Roman law of father's power. This granted the father ultimate life, death, authority over their children. I know some of you wish you had that right now. Husbands had similar legal authority over their wives. Women were at times treated as mere servants. I said, this is the way it used to be. Okay? All right? Everybody hear that? This was their culture. Women were treated as mere servants and subject to stay at home and obey. I said that was their culture. I didn't say it was our culture. I just feel like I need to preface this stuff. I don't want someone going home and saying, see, hon, pastor said that you need to be submissive and you need to stay at home and obey. I didn't say that at all. I'm just reading some commentary to you. So if a wife came to the Lord first, she faced potential difficulty at home. It could be seen as an act of defacement or defense against the husband, or I am usurping authority over you, if you will, which would bring about embarrassment and shame. Now, the Christian woman is spiritually equal to the man in Christ. If you would, if you have your Bibles, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27, it says this, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free or bond, nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Somebody clap your hands unto the Lord. The tension has dissipated. Amen. We're all equal in Christ. If anybody's received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you've been filled with God's Spirit. Aren't you thankful for that? Amen. However, there is a divine order and a certain obligation God has ordained a woman to have to their husband. Peter shares a couple of these responsibilities of wives. And that first one we found in our text here tonight, to be submissive to your husband. Peter is reaching back to the last two examples of submission he gave, and he said it should be the same for the wives to their husbands. Again, we must remember what we said about being the difference between rather submissive and obedience. Talked about that. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 22, wives, submit to your own husband as to the Lord. I want you to look at that. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 22. And I want you to think about what it's saying. It's telling us that we're not doing it to them. We're doing it unto who? Unto the Lord. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Now, we got to remember, there's a difference between submission and obedience. We're talking about submission. You are doing this unto the Lord. You are being submissive unto the Lord. Second thing he talked about is to be modest. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Those of you that are being a part of Deeper Life, I'm sure you will dive into this at some point in the future. So what it says, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and a quiet spirit. Or the King James Version says, a meek or a mild spirit. A meek or a mild spirit, which is very precious. I love this part. Which is very precious in the sight of God. To be meek and to mild, to be sweet and kind, it's the Lord likes it. The Lord thinks that's wonderful. For in this manner, in former times, the holy woman who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. We're going to walk through this verse a little more when we talk through holiness and modesty dress, but I want to give a very high level, if you will, not in the knowledge of it, but a high level overview of what Peter is saying. Peter is saying, instead of focusing on all your attention solely, it's very important, but instead of focusing all your attention solely on your external appearance, a Christian wife should be devoted to beautifying the hidden person of the heart. It's something that since I've been pastor, I've talked about. I'm a relationship preacher. I'm a relationship pastor. It's important that we look on the hidden person, the relationship with God. Inner beauty should be manifest through our spiritual virtue, like a humble and a meek attitude. Somebody say amen. A peaceful spirit. And for those of you, there's some in the room tonight that maybe have a husband that's not a believer, someone that's been hurt or broken, and they have completely turned their back on religion or church or the Bible even. The reward of you having that kind of spirit, the Bible says that you might win your unbelieving husband. That's pretty awesome. We can either nag them and get mad at them and beat them up, or I say we as I'm just speaking as the lady tonight or the wife tonight. We can nag them or beat them up or get ticked off at them, or
We can be meek. We can be quiet. We can be kind. We can be loving. We can still wash his dirty underwear even when you don't like him. Amen? And when you do that, you might, it's not for sure, but you might win your unbelieving husband. Somebody say amen. Amen. I want to see more of those unbelieving husbands in the house of God. First Peter 3 and verse 1, wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they, without a word, may be won by the conduct of their wives. Your example of faithfulness is what they're going to see. Your example of loving Jesus Christ no matter what. I can recall as a teenager and as a young person, a particular family in the church that Bishop pastored. There was a wife. Her and her son came all of the time. All of the time. But he hardly ever darkened the doors. Sometimes would communicate with Bishop. Sometimes would come by the church. But would not darken the doors. But the wife sang in the choir. The son came to church. They were there all of the time. And before he passed away, God saved his soul. Amen. And I have no doubt it was because of the faithfulness, the example, and the faithfulness of the wife, of the submission, even though drunk, even though sometimes physical, sometimes doing what they shouldn't do. Praise God. The faithfulness of the wife, the submission of the wife, the godly spirit that the wife had, the husband is going to walk on streets of gold. Amen? It's worth it all, isn't it? I said it's worth it all. No matter, I was talking to somebody, I think it was yesterday, it might have been Sunday. Whatever it takes, let's get it done. Whatever it takes, I'm going to do it. That's kingdom-minded, if anything. I can tell you that right now. That's pretty kingdom-minded to be like, man, you're mean, you stink, I don't like you, but I love you. I'll do your laundry. Sure wish you'd come to church with me. Pray for them. I've heard of people, Bishop Gilbert, many, many years ago, he's preached about the anointing, preached about an anointing cloths, prayer cloths, and those little red cloths, we still have them here at the church. They're in the back. We get them out from time to time when somebody wants one. But he talked about those, and I know people that have stitched them under the mattress. They've put them in the pillows. They put them on the sheets. Why? Of the husband. Because they wanted desperately for their husband to be in the household of faith. We'll prove an example that will draw your unbelieving husband to God. I don't know about you, but if I was in that situation, which I'm not, and that could be a trivial statement, I want to do whatever it takes to get that person in the household of faith. Amen? 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, husbands, let's talk about it. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding. That's kind of loaded. I'm just going to tell you, I'm not speaking ill of the Bible, but that's kind of loaded. But it tells us that we can dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers, wow, that's pretty intense, huh? That's what it says, isn't it? That your prayers may not be hindered. We got a responsibility, husbands. Let's look at this a little bit. To be submissive to your wife. That's what it's saying. Because there's this little word there. It says, husband, comma, likewise. Speaking of what it talked about before. Husbands, y'all twiddling your thumbs and looking down. What's going on? Shh. Did you get the groceries like I asked you? All these conversations going on. Husbands, likewise, Likewise is what it says. Husbands, likewise, to be submissive to your wife. Likewise, in the same way is what it's talking about. In the same way. The Bible teaches a mutual submission. Okay? A mutual submission. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 21. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. What are we to do? We are to act with consideration, chivalry, and compassion. Consideration, give some definitions here. Considerations, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife. Be submissive and consider your wives' physical and spiritual needs. Chivalry, as to the weaker vessel, not weaker in character or intellect. We all know that women are smarter than men. Go ahead and clap. Not weaker in character or intellect. Not spiritually inferior either. Because we know that women's prayer meeting is always more attended than men's. That was one of those Mike Tyson uppercuts and I didn't even try. But less physical strength. Take care of her and be courteous. Companionship. Companionship. And also being compassionate. Being heirs together, the Bible says. There should be intimate companionship. It's okay to say amen. Maintain the household together. You can wash your own dirty laundry sometimes. Amen. I do my own laundry, don't I? And I make the kids fold theirs, don't I? It's all about hey, they're old enough. Got to teach them. I folded my own laundry, rearranged my own room. When I was 12 years old, I did it all the time. So if I could do it, they could do it. That's how I think about it. You ain't got to take it all. And they're not your slaves, but you're teaching them. The Bible says to train them up in the way they should go. So I heard this. I'm not going to say who it is. I'm just going to say this. And daddy, shame on you. Shame on you. I'm going to put this all on the daddy. Shame on you if your son goes to college and doesn't have a clue how to do laundry. I know of a family that just happened to not too long ago. And when I heard the statement, I was like, what? Are you joking me? I knew how to make sure that the collars were clean on my shirts, on my dress shirts. I knew how to fold. I knew how to do it. Like, I was overjoyed when my parents would leave because I had dibs on the dryer and the washer and the oven. I could go to Albertsons, it was Skaggs Alpha Beta or whatever it was back in the day, and I could buy, they left me money, so I'm going to spend the money on food, and I would buy steaks. I'd do whatever. And I would grill. Ask him. He could tell you. It's the truth. What'd you have tonight? Steak. What'd you have tonight? Steak. What'd you have tonight? Baked potato and steak. I'd be completely broke when they got back. But I knew how to do it. But it blows my mind. It blows my mind when I heard that one time. There's probably others. But that one time. And I know this kid. And I was like, hey, what? You're 18, 19 years old and you don't know how to do laundry? Shame on you, daddy. You need to make sure that they know how to do that kind of stuff. Anyway, so I said all that to say, and I got the microphone, so I'm kind of justifying how to do things. I don't always fold the clothes, but I do wash them, and then I have others fold them. Amen. That's just how I do it. You can do it how you want to do it. Maintain the household together. We're doing it together, all of us, the whole body. Amen. Cultivate healthy growth in the family together. So, I want to just stop for a moment on that. I'm going to try my best. I said I wasn't going to do this, but cultivate healthy growth in the family together. See, a lot of times, this is what happens. We only think about outside of the four walls of the church. I'm going to I'm going to make sure that we have healthy growth in family dinners. I'm going to make sure that we have healthy growth in going to grandma's or going to grandpa's or family reunions. And all that stuff's great and wonderful. But together, we as parents and as husbands and wives need to be helping them grow spiritually. Okay? So I've made reference to this. I'm on a text thread with many ministers across the United States, Canada, some. And it was this text was given, I don't remember, it's months ago now, but some of my friends start to begin to talk about what they do to do this exact thing. And one of my friends that's been here at the church, Brother Dave McGovern, he has three? I don't remember how many it is. Anyways, what they have done the past 2 years is he has got a Search for Truth Bible study, and they will eat their dinner, and soon as dinner is over, they have gone through Search for Truth Bible study for the past 2 years. They did it in 2022, and they did it in 2023, and they completely finished it. And his hope was, his statements he gave, he said, when I started this, I didn't have this whole mission statement. I didn't have all this stuff. But what I did is I wanted to make sure that when my kids leave my house, that they have grown spiritually, and it is my responsibility and my wife's responsibility. And he told me this past year what they did. The first year, he said, I taught it all. But this past year, he taught a lesson, and then she taught a lesson, and they alternated. That's a long dinner time, but it's important, and they're doing it together. That's pretty awesome, huh? And I told him, I messaged him privately, and I've got all that information because I want to use that. Have I started it yet? No, but I want to do that because why? I want, together, I want us to grow our children. Amen? I want them to grow healthy, and I want them to understand that I'm not leaving it up to you to create a habit. I'm going to help you grow that habit about studying the Word. It may not be a search for truth all the time, but it will be every single day and every single moment. They chose it to be right after dinner. They decided to cultivate a healthy relationship with their family. And so it's our companionship. We have got to cultivate a healthy growth in the family together. Ephesians chapter 5. Husbands, Ephesians chapter 5, 25 and 28. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Your prayers and my prayers. This is what scares a pastor. If we're not being a chosen generation, I didn't say acting like, but being a chosen generation, then our prayers will be hindered according to God's word. I want to do whatever possible to maintain a healthy relationship and obey what God's word declares for me to obey. So my prayers are not hindered. Amen? If we do not do that, what will happen is we will not have prayers answered. We will get angry. We will begin to see things differently and not as God wants us to see them. Oh, why didn't God do this? Why didn't God do that? Why didn't God do this? And the whole time, it is because we are not doing what God is teaching us to do. We are not conducting ourselves how we need to conduct ourselves. Amen? Our conduct with believers. Look at your neighbor and say, each other. Each other. Our conduct with believers. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. Finally, all of you be of one mind. Have compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tenderhearted. Look at your neighbor and say, be tenderhearted. Be courteous. Be courteous. Not returning evil for evil. Not returning evil for evil. But on the contrary, blessing blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord, listen to this, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. What is our responsibility? Our responsibility, we have the right attitude and have the right response. We got to have the right attitude and we got to have the right response. We must remember, it is not about being right, but about doing right. We got to do right. Look at your neighbor and say, I love you. Even when you're not here, I love you. Amen. We got to have the right attitude. One mind, the Bible said. One mind. Unified. No division among you. I'm going to take a little time on this. We got to have the right attitude. Ladies and gentlemen, if we're going to be a chosen generation, we got to love this place. I'm talking about this building. And we got to love the worshipers that occupy it with us. Amen. You got to love me. And I love you. One mind, unified, no division among you. Having compassion, being sympathetic toward each other. We do. We have to be sympathetic toward each other. We've got to think about it. When somebody's hurting and in pain, we have tried our best to orchestrate that here at Truth Church. We have family leaders, and family leaders will call out to you. They'll text you. I'm just being pastor right now. Is that all right? Is everybody okay with that? I say that tongue in cheek. We have family leaders, and they'll say, hey, listen, so-and-so's in the hospital. We need to pray for them. And then it's crazy. I don't know if your phone does this, but crickets just start crawling across the screen after they text that. And it's just, no, chirp, chirp. Nobody says anything. Being compassionate is saying, oh, man, I'm really busy, but oh, man, I hate that in Jesus' name. And then tell your family leader, I'm praying with them right now. I'm praying with you about them. It's not very hard. Somebody say amen. Amen. Being sympathetic toward each other, even if that person doesn't know it, or even if you have their number, it'd be good to text them and say, hey, I sure do love you. I miss you. I've heard about your surgery. I've heard about the ailment that you've had. I'm praying for you. Having compassion. Somebody say, I'm a chosen generation. Are you a part of a chosen generation? Amen? We're a part of a chosen generation. Love is brothers. We got to have that family love with each other. It's funny because there's people already in the congregation. I love it. It just happened to me this past Sunday. I shook a man's hand and I went to give him a hug, and he's new. And it was the hardest thing. He didn't know what to do. That's awesome to me. Because I'm going to teach him, hey, man, I love you. Not in the crazy world kind of love. I love you as a brother. You're my brother in the Lord. I care for your soul. That is the conduct that believers should have. And it's okay. It's all right. Now, we start doing holy kisses and all that, and we might have to talk about that mess. But I'm talking about, we got to have compassion. We got to love as brothers. We got to be tenderhearted and kind. You know, and man, I hate bringing up the issues of bygone years, but I can remember as a youth pastor that, man, there was this one time, and it was sad. It was really bad, but sweet parishioner of the church was, I mean, would y'all look at Bishop Gilbert back there? Doesn't he just look like a teddy bear, don't he? Kind. Now listen. And just listen. I mean, I'm going to preface this. He is tenderhearted. But there's times when you're rebellious as a son that he's been too long suffering, and so he gets out the belt. And you told your mom to shut up, and that was the dumbest thing to date that I've ever done in my life. And he gave me 100 whippings. And so I know, ladies and gentlemen, I know for sure, positively for sure, that he can be kind and he can be courteous and he can be sweet. But on that day, he wasn't. And so when this sweet parishioner lady in the church came or was invited into Bishop's old office, she allowed him to hear her complaints and her anger. And I sitting after church in my office, and I heard the yells and the screams and all of these things that were being said. And I was thinking, now all I said was, shut up, Mom. I mean, we about to have, what's that, the Tasmanian devil come up out of that office here in a minute. And he's going to be swinging. But you know what? As the things and the accusations and the anger and the spitfire and all of those things, and they could all be made right, and I could be bringing up something that brings pain. But anyway, I'm speaking of the right attitude. Yes, sir. And this man stood there with tears in his eyes and had the right attitude when what the individual had done, contrary to what she may think or believe, was completely and totally wrong. Nothing could have made that right. Nothing could have caused that to be the right action. And so I say all that to say, we must, as believers, have the right attitude towards each other. When you're angry, when you're mad, when you're upset, when someone may have done something wrong or there is a misunderstanding, we got to have the right attitude. Amen? This moves me to the second part of this, right response. Not returning evil for evil. We don't get back or get even. Amen? If we're a chosen generation. Now, that is completely and totally opposite of our nature. That's why it's in the Word of God. Amen? That's why it's teaching us that you don't return evil for evil. You don't try to get back or get even. Not returning a insult for insult. We don't return fire for fire. That's all we do. We give blessing instead. Don't let your tongue speak evil. Work to be a non-drama church. Amen? Or maybe better, be a low-drama church, because we're human. Amen? There's going to be times that we're going to say and do things that we shouldn't say or do, and it may take a little while for us to work toward that. Now listen. A church that is trying to have that no drama or low drama, if you will, it's going to take some time to get there. It's going to take some time to learn that I need to be a chosen generation. It's going to take some time to believe that you can be, because your attitude wants to be like, listen here, jerk. Or I don't like you. You see, I've been around a little while, and I have no doubt in my mind that there are people that may not like me. But guess what? I'm going to love you no matter what. I really am. I've been around peers of mine that have made statements that I have not allowed myself to even get a part of saying those types of things, because I truly want to be a chosen generation. There are times that I've said, you know what I want to say? When somebody said this to me, I want to say this, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to pray. I'm going to have a right attitude. I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm just saying that I didn't say it, but I sure did want to, Sister Joe. And so it takes time for us as men and women of God to have the right attitude and the right conduct towards each other. Would you look at your neighbor and say, I love you? If that was hard for you to do, you need to love each other. Amen. I'm not going to get on that right now, but we need to love each other. And listen to this. When we work to be that kind of believing body, that type of church, the reward is we may receive a blessing. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. This is what it says. Not returning evil for evil. Not returning evil for evil. Rivaling for rivaling. But on the contrary, blessing. Knowing that you were called to this. That you may inherit a blessing. And what's most important, God's ears. Can we stand our feet all across the building? We're going to do a class participation here. Stand to your feet if you're able in body. I want you to look around. Look at, make eye contact with somebody and smile at them. Not your wife or your husband, but somebody across the church. Come on. Look at somebody and smile at them. Wave at them. Let them know. I'm looking at you. Wave at them. Amen. Stay standing. I'm almost done. The reward is we receive blessing, the Bible says, and God's ears will be open to our prayers. Amen. Pastor Darren, why are you talking about this? The reason I'm talking about this, because my goodness, I want our prayers to be heard. I want your prayers to be heard. Now, I know it just goes off good. I mean, I'm good merit, and it's hard for me to, I've taken little tests, and I have a hard time seeing evil in anybody. I've done all that stuff, and it's a curse, I guess, but I have a hard time. But I've sent out text messages. I've sent out base camp messages. Hey, can y'all help me pray for this? Can y'all help me pray specifically for this weekend? I'm just believing that you love everybody. I'm just believing that you want to be a chosen generation. I'm believing that your conduct is how it needs to be. Amen. And that your prayers, when I ask you to pray, are going to be heard. Amen. I just believe that. And so the rewards are that we're going to receive a blessing. It's Peter chapter 3, verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 3 and 9. 1 Peter chapter 3 and 12. That God's ears are open to our prayers. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. Somebody say the righteous. And his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. So I'm going to go back to our conduct with believers. It's important that we love each other. It's important that we have compassion toward each other. It's important that these things are a part of our life as a church. Why? That our prayers are heard. I want you and your husband and your wife, I want your prayers to be heard for your children. I want your prayers to be heard for our church. Amen? That ain't too much to ask, is it? God's asking us to do that. If you have your Bibles, and I'm closing, I want you to go to Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. If you have your phones, get your phone. Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 14. Highlight it. Highlight it in your YouVersion app. Highlight it on your Bible app. Highlight it in your Bible. You've read it, no doubt. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl or a bushel, the King James Version says. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, say, I'm a chosen generation. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm a chosen generation. In the same way, let Truth Church Let this body, let this people, let us in our homes and in our places of work and the supermarket, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds or your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Somebody say, I'm a chosen generation. Truth Church, let's be a chosen generation in every area of life. I encourage you to go back and watch or listen to on our Church Center app. Listen to these messages. Listen to these lessons on being a chosen generation. And we will continue sometime in the near future. God, we love you. We thank you so very much for our time together tonight. I'm asking, Lord, that you would teach us and mold us and let us be teachable. Let us be teachable as men and women of God. Lord, doing what you will and not what we want to, oh Lord. Living how you want us to live and talking how you want us to talk and being what you desire us to be. Lord, your word declares that you know the thoughts, you know the plans, you know the direction that you have for us. It's of good and not of evil to give us an expected end. And Lord, we want to walk in a way that will get us to that expected end. We give you honor and we give you praise with our life in Jesus' name. And everyone say amen. Amen. Come on, look at somebody and say, I love you. I love you. God bless you. We'll see you on Sunday morning. Sunday morning. Do not even plan to miss. Only plan to be here. And we're going to have a great time in the Lord with Brother Landing.